I'm Deva Flowers.
And I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
Welcome to Creating Leaders of Character.
Our purpose in creating this podcast is to help you empower yourself as a leader.
Specifically, as a leader of character.
Deva and I come from two very different times. You might consider me an old school kind of leader.
And I'm what might be considered an emerging leader.
As different as our perspectives may be, we both agree that leading with character is important these days. Actually, it's always been important. Now, it may even be critical.
Throughout this podcast, we'll share our perspectives, not to convince you to think like either of us, but to help you develop your own perspectives and apply them to make you a better leader.
A leader of character. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight. Well, you are back, Deva. I allowed you to come back after that. I can't believe that you lied to your dad after all. Whatever. Well, you're already over it. I'll get over it eventually.
I had to go through an honor counseling with Chief Vasquez. 48 hours of counseling before he let me back on the show.
Yeah. And writing it down, I will not lie 5,000 times.
I will not lie. It's all over my walls.
Yeah. I hope you had a good week. You're getting closer to graduation. And when do you graduate? Is it in May?
Yes. The date is May 11th, but I have my last day of school on April 29th. So I graduate this month is what I'm saying. April. So.
Okay. And then, are you going to go, what do they call it? Walk? Are you going to go get your diploma?
Yeah. Now? It's funny. So many of my friends have said, oh, stupid. There's too much work. It's just fireworks. You sit there and it's super long. And I didn't get a high school graduation because of COVID. I am super excited. No matter how long I have to sit there, or I've warned my families, but no matter how long they have to sit there in the bleachers, I will go to graduation. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, that's good. And is your family coming to see you graduate?
Yes. Okay. My mom's side and my dad's side get to come and see the graduation. So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
I'm excited.
And then you
don't get to see the president like your pupils do, but
although I tell you, and with all due respect, I don't have to be respectful anymore. I'm not on duty anymore. but the worst part of graduation at the Air Force Academy is listening to the speakers, including whichever president is there, because they're boring. Somebody else wrote their speech and all they're doing is reading it, you know, and it's like 30 minutes. They don't want to hear that. You know, they want to get out of there. They want to see the Thunderbirds. Yeah. Let's get out of here. You know, I always said, hey, invite me and it'll be, thank you. You all done good. See you later. Done. And we'd be out of there. You know, we can start cracking out the cigars and all that, but anyway, we're getting closer every week, so that's a good thing. What's happened in the last couple of weeks, though, Deva, is I think this is fascinating because I never really paid attention to it till this year, and that's March Madness. Although it's April now, but it started in March, I suppose. I don't know where they came. I suppose that's where they came up with that name. But in basketball. Men's and women's NCAA basketball. And I know you're not a real sports fan, but you've seen enough of it, I'm sure. And what I wanted to talk about was a topic of competition, particularly in character development, because it's highly, highly competitive, man. Mm-hmm. And when LSU and Iowa played, that's the first time I've seen women's basketball. And wow, they're incredible. I mean, you know, people are... And we will, because it's a natural thing to do, compare women to men. Well, those women, I think, could probably beat a lot of the men teams, because they are just amazing, especially what is her name? Caitlin Clark, hitting from 5,000 feet away or something. She's the new Steph Curry, I think, coming up into the, I think she's going to go pro. But nonetheless, highly competitive. And as I started looking at this and thinking about this stuff, man, the whole society is pretty competitive. Why do you guys do that? It's your fault. You know, your generations are doing it, although that's probably not true.
Yeah. My professor has this news segment. She the other day said that women's sports is getting to be much, not much more, but almost as popular as men's sports, which I think is pretty insane. I think
Yeah, that's
especially
great.
in the case
That's
of
great.
basketball,
Yeah.
because a lot of times, women have complained in the past about not getting paid as much in men's sports, and then the answer a lot of the times is, well, it's not as popular as men's sports. Well, now I think that's definitely changing. Obviously, not really in football or anything, but some of those sports like basketball, I think men or women are really coming up on the front of being as popular. And you're right. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I kind of can, because I have friends who are super type A, invested in their hobby or in their sport, and best of their class or best at their instrument or best at their sport. And it takes so much out of you. But I think a big portion of that is not just making yourself as good as you can be, but also the competitive aspect of I have to beat this other person. And
Yeah.
I live by, make myself as good as I can, but I know someone will be better at me at something.
Yeah.
and so
Yeah,
kind of
but
humble, but also doesn't let me be as competitive as maybe I could be. So.
yeah. And I guess that'll be a mindset though, because I think I've told you that Apollo Ono, the Olympic speed skater, incredible man, is one of my proteges. And when we talked about stuff, competition and all that kind of stuff, I always, he either said it or he gave me the idea that he was competing against himself.
That's good.
And I think, I don't know how there's a term for that, I guess probably somebody's come up with it. When you compete against yourself, I think that's the ultimate competition. I've told people many, and again, and I usually use Apollo as an example. In Apollo's fame, being the number one speed skater in the world, it was one week he was, the next week he wasn't. The w next week he was, it was just depending on the competition and all that kind of stuff and timing and all that. And actually, that was a competition, his personal competition. But to be the best, it takes a whole lot of work that most of us are not willing to do that. We dream of being Apollo, but do you want to do what he used to run up the incline, the one leg at a time? He just bounce up there,
That's
and that's
crazy.
ridiculous to do that. I remember one time him coming to a class, and his hair was still wet and all that. I said, "Did you just finish working out?" He said, "Yeah, I did a short workout today,
Oh
Professor
my
Chief,
goodness.
because that's what he calls me, because I had to come to class." I said, "Oh, really? What's a short workout?" "Oh, just 4 hours."
That's
Four
crazy.
hours
Yeah,
of
you spend
that.
all your time.
So,
You have to love
well,
it. I mean,
you have to.
I think you have
Yeah.
to learn to love it, or just love it naturally. At least
Yeah.
all the things that I've been good at, I've always had to find out how to love. And maybe that would mean with school, setting up some coffee or some tea, and having the good ambiance to sit down and actually write the paper you really didn't want to write. And so I think that's always helpful when you set yourself up for success to actually enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
So.
And it kind of goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago with the identity, discovering your personal identity. When you get to the point of I am, the highest level, at least by my theory, I am, which means I do these things because I am this person. In a way, there's competition, I think, personal competition against yourself. Do you keep doing that? And it's funny because I never thought about this much until, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. But I could call myself an assessment freak. How do you know? How do you know that you're your best? There's methods, I'm sure, but intrinsically, I think you haven't you do have an idea of whether or not you gave all you had. If you were all in, that's one of my mantras. If you gave 100%, you know it or not, and you can assess that and you can work accordingly. I need to work better at it or more and or differently, whatever. But I think that's all constructive competition, because it's trying to I'm working on making myself better instead of I studied with Stephen Covey, who used to talk about win-win mentality, and that's not our culture. It's win-lose. I want to win so that you can lose. And I know some people who just love making people lose. It's that's To me, I don't understand that. How can you do something to make people suffer? But they do, and some of them are, quote, successful at it.
I wonder. I just heard somebody talking about that, and I'm not really sure where I heard it, but they were talking about how there's two reasons why someone would bully someone else or push them down, as either they want that person to really feel the wrath and they want to be evil towards that person, or they want to show everybody else, look, he's not this, I'm better. And I think that the second scenario is more likely, in my opinion, that people are not always out to crush the competition because they hate the competition, but rather that they're trying to prove themselves as a worthy opponent or as a worthy cause. And I really like the idea of fighting against yourself. And I'm actually struggling with that a little bit right now because I am working out a lot more than I used to because I feel much more sturdy after, 6 months of having a little bit of rest and working up slowly. And so I'm starting to work out harder like I used to. And so just yesterday I ran 3 miles, and 3 miles would be okay normally, but I was outside in the heat and it was really hot and really humid, and I pushed myself up all of these hills. I just like maybe a 25, 30 degree hill, and I was just step by step by step trying to run as fast as I could up this hill. And I went home and had some salmon, which was not the good idea, and I threw up afterwards. I was so overworked. I was so hot and just kind of, I don't know if I had enough water, but the run itself, I felt like I pushed myself really good. But then in hindsight, I realized maybe I should have taken it a little bit, easier, and maybe I should have done a mile the day before and then 2 miles that day. And so anyways, hindsight's always 2020, but I'm struggling with the idea of knowing how far to push myself. And Jacob is so sweet. He really does try to help push me, but he told me the other day, which as a husband to a wife or a man to a woman, I think you can understand why I didn't take it the best. But he said, I want you to push yourself. And I said, I am pushing myself when I work out. What do you mean? I work out all the time. I'm trying to work out twice a day. Like most people don't do that. And he said, well, I'm watching you work out, and sometimes I think you can push yourself harder. And my response was, well, I know my limits and you don't, and blah, 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 blah. Silly, silly me. And especially because I do think I was pushing myself. But and he came back and said, well, it's actually a good thing because I see you as this strong person that can lift so much weight and run 5 miles at a time and do all this stuff. Because I did used to do more of that a few years ago before I had a kid, and I'm getting back into it. And so he's like, I said that because I think you're great, and I think that you can do a lot. So I have this weird last thing I want to say. I have this weird image. I'm trying to understand, I think I can do this much, but maybe I can do more. And if I'm competing against myself, then maybe I should just run until I throw up every time. And we know that's not good. So,
Well, I have
yeah.
a one of my docs who was a Green Beret colonel told me that the best workout is when you're about to puke, when you finish. And although he said about to, he didn't say when you puke. He said when you're about to puke, which I can understand that because you really worked yourself up to get to that point. And there's probably a lot of value. And again, him being a doctor, and of course he was a Green Beret, so I'm not sure that he knew much, but he was pretty strong. And to do that, maybe that's what it, you got to get to that point where you're about to, but not. You always got the great philosopher Dirty Harry said, "A man's got to know his limitations." So there are limits to everything, but anyway, I understand the colonel's perspective, and you don't want to do that regularly, of course. Like you say, maybe you need to back off just a little bit so that you're not at that point. Now, let me wherever Jacob is, and I know he's listening. Never say "I want you to your wife." Never say that. Okay. And I just wrote an essay for my Power Pack leadership lessons that you'll see next week about managers tell, leaders ask. And your grandpa probably already told you this years ago. You can catch more flies with honey than you can with
Vinegar,
vinegar.
Dale
So,
Carnegie.
yes, if you tell someone, "I want you to," the chances are you just put the wall up. And whether you say it or not, because when I go out to hear, listen to speakers or a seminar or something, and someone says, "I want you to," immediately, and that's because I'm just ordinary, the wall goes up. Says, "Oh, really? You want me to? You do it. If you want it, you do it." Remember, we talked about wants, right? Those are desires. You do it. I don't want that, so I'm over it. And that's negative thinking. That's lose-lose thinking. But anyway, and So managers tell and leaders ask.
That's good.
Is that where you're at? Is that what you want to do? Are you, what are you striving for? Now that's a different conversation, right? Well, I'm striving to be what I used to be. Okay, now and then he can say what he finally did say, which I guess he made up for all for the wanting to. So anyway, Jacob, call me and we'll talk some more. I'll slap you upside the head maybe a couple times.
He does so good. He really does. He's trying his best. We're all learning for sure. And yeah, it's hard to, maybe figure out what image of what it is you want to be, because I used to be in ROTC and wake up at 4 a.m. every day and run a few miles and work out a lot. And that doesn't mean that I can't do that, but maybe I would prioritize finishing school before I wake up at 4 a.m. every day. Maybe getting 8 hours of sleep or 7 hours of sleep is more important, even though you wouldn't say it was, because you get negative 5 hours of sleep a night. And maybe I should be getting negative 5 hours of sleep a night. Anyways, but yeah, I think expectations are a really big thing. And we talked about self-image, but it's important that not only do I think you push yourself, but maybe give yourself just a little bit of grace too, if you need it. Because Jacob, I know it's such a hard worker, and so am I, but we have this list 15 items long, and it's on paper, and it's things that we could do to help ourselves every day that sometimes we don't always do. So we're Christian, so on there is like do some Bible reading, and it's on order of priority. So number one for us is praying, and number two is like do some kind of study. And then we have all different types of stuff that we have: make your bed, we have workout once as a category, and then we have workout twice as a category. We have work, eat one healthy meal a day, so that you don't go around eating Doritos. You can check off, oh, I made something for myself. And so I was explaining to Jacob this way that we were going to categorize these to-do lists, because at first he says, I just want to make a list of things I do every single day. And so I said, you're going to eat, two healthy meals, work out twice a day, wake up at 5 a.m., do all these things every single day. That's a great goal. But what if you prioritize them and just try to get through as much as you could, and then didn't beat yourself up when you didn't? Because before we made the list, he just said, oh, there's so much I wanted to do today, and I didn't get to do any of it. And I said, well, you worked out, you ate good food, you studied, you read a book. I mean, come on, and you did great. So yeah, self-image and trying to reward yourself and telling yourself, no, remember, I did wake up on time, and I did these things today, I think is important as well.
Well, and I call it icing, icing on the cake, because sometimes it happens that because I every week I give myself a goal of how many push-ups I want to do, and I do four sets every other day, and like right now I'm at 35, but sometimes when depending on and I don't know what there's some physiology stuff happening, I feel stronger than other days, and I'll say, well, man, I can go to 30, I can go to 40, or I can go, but I don't want to do too much because I know I can break myself, and then I can't do any of them, so I got to be careful with that. But when I do, I get to 35, and then I think, oh, let me put some icing on this, and I do a couple more, and that makes me feel better. Probably physically, although it kind of aches a little bit more, but no pain, no gain. But psychologically, it makes me feel like, okay, I'm stronger because I just did two more than I said I would do. But I did the minimum. I have goals that I gotta do those. I don't gotta, but I choose to do those, and then put the icing on. So, and that doesn't happen every day, but sometimes it does. I think it's kind of wasteful if you have it and you don't use it. I could have gone for another mile, but I didn't want to. But again, that's for you youngsters. For us old guys, if you have, two and a half miles is all I do on my treadmill because I know I'll hurt myself if I don't. I know
Yeah,
that.
now
I've done
that's your
that.
limit, and that's
That's my
good.
limit. Because I will break. It's just I'm old now. But all of that, I think, Dave, I think that guides us toward becoming a person of character because that's personal competition. I'm not competing against anybody. I don't know. Do you do that? Peloton, I think it's that black
I
gear that you
started.
can. Okay, I know that what sells in that process or that package is the other people,
Community.
the community. And I don't know anything about it. That's all I know. But I'm wondering if you compete with each other or you compete by your with yourself. Which if you're competing with yourself, you can always do that, and I think that's always valuable. But if you're competing with somebody else, although I don't know, maybe there's some value in that, but it gets to extremes. Again, NCAA, March Madness, sometimes it gets to extreme. Some of the stuff that they
Yeah.
do and say, and you don't have to use words sometimes to say stuff, but sometimes what happens on the court is like, man, that's not right. There's no integrity in that, and everybody in the world's watching it, so
Yeah, you
especially
want to
for.
be a role model, especially if you have kids watching and have a bunch of people watching. I have a very close family member who was an amazing boxer. Her name is Lisa Hollywan, and she's married to Christy Martin, who is one of the trailblazers in women's boxing. Lisa Hollywan is my aunt. And Christy Martin has an interview where she talks about some of the new boxers and kind of just, letting their tongue go wild as far as trash talking the other person and death threats and all this crazy stuff. And she said, we need to come back to the time that we remember that there's kids watching and people really look up to you as a leader, not just as a fighter and or as a basketball player, as a competitive sports person. And so I think it's important to, put your character in those places too. And she was definitely commenting on how, they should probably reel in that language just a little bit, but it's also part of the sport. But yeah,
And
that's
our
important.
actions speak much louder than our words. So
Yeah.
let me finish. Well, let's finish this episode with a story. I'm looking at Nieves, my firstborn granddaughter, who's 21 now. This is the one that you remind me of. She was probably 5. I'm going to say something like that. When I can see it, we were out in the driveway, and I don't remember what it was exactly that she did, but I asked her. I said, Nieves, why did you do that like that? And it was a good thing. It was a good thing. And she looked at me like kind of, deer in the eyes. What is it? Eyes, the
Deer
deer
in the
in the
headlights.
headlights look. She said, Opa, because you do.
Aww.
Boy, did that. That's a huge lesson, because from then on, I had to make sure that I said the right things. I did the right things because my granddaughter's watching me. And, that is air power, HEIR power,
Oh,
that I
yeah.
pass it on for another generation. And thank goodness she's been a good kid. And I think most of the time I've been a pretty good opa. So,
Good. As you
well,
should.
you have a great week. Keep plugging away, get those papers done. And
Yes, sir.
if you need to, you can cite me, because in all of these years, I probably said
Okay, sounds good.
it.
I'll use you on all of my thesis papers, all the
Sounds good.
citations. CFATSA,
At
CFATSA.
least make me famous, if not infamous.
Okay.
Have a great week.
Thanks for
God
all
bless
your
you.
help and mentorship. Bye. Thank you for listening. We hope that there was something that you heard in this episode that will help empower you to become a better leader.
A leader of character. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at cloc@leadershipandforesight.org.
Until next time, be great. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.